Hello all, welcome to Rewatchable episode 79, where we're going to be recapping Avatar The Last Airbender season 2 episodes 7 and 8. It's Natalie again. I haven't been here in approximately 84 years, mainly because I was actually away in the UK without very good capacity to internet. And so we had to, I didn't get the end of season 1. And then the last couple of weeks, have just been a bit hectic with coming back. And I have not hosted in many a moon, but I'm back. I haven't quit or anything. And with us today, we have Caitlin, Karen, and Ariana. So hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. And I'm sure that we'll hear from everyone nicely this episode. And we don't have, you know, everyone's going to have lots of beautiful opinions and we're all going to agree and get along. I can tell already that that's how this is going to go. If you'd like to reach any of us about Avatar The Last Airbender or even about any of the past rewatchable shows that that we've done, you can contact us on rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com or you can contact us over on Twitter @re_watchable. Or if you want to talk about this episode, I mean, or any episode in particular, this post on hyperball.com where you are listening to the podcast or reading the show notes, you can comment there. Try not to leave any spoilers for our newbies for future episodes of Avatar, but if you want to talk about the past or whatever, that's all good. So, Chapter 7, Episode 7 of Season 2, is called Zuko Alone. And this episode means so much to me, and I'm so glad and also slightly upset that I'm, like, coming back on this episode. And now I have to read Ariana's synopsis of this episode, which does not take it as seriously as my heart takes this episode, but I'm going to try. In this chapter, Zuko is alone. He has an ostrich horse, but he is alone. He goes into an old western town with wannabe cowboys who try to pick on him, but he shuts them down because he is like Clint Eastwood and he is alone. A little boy sees him alone and tells him to come hang out at his house because his brother is off fighting the war and he is lonely. Zuko goes to the house, but he doesn't want to talk about his feelings because he is a loner. Oh, God. Zuko leaves the house on his ostrich horse, but the kid begs him to stay so he won't be alone. Zuko just wants to be alone. The next day, the kid gets taken by the cowboy bullies who are stinking up the town, but everything changes when the Fire Nation's prince attacks. He fights them with his samurai skills and then he gets mad and brings out the fire. Burn, baby, burn. It's a disco inferno. So he saves the day, but the kid is mad. He is Fire Nation, so Zuko has to leave and he is alone. Meanwhile, in the past, Ty Lee is doing cartwheels. Mei had a crush on Zuko. Azula is batshit crazy. Iroh loses his son and the Battle of Ba Sing Se. Ozai becomes emperor and Zuko's mum sacrifices herself, so he is now alone. Thank you for that. Very much, Ariana. Thank you. It's succinct. It's accurate. It's just, it's not exactly got the rip your heart out qualities that I feel about this episode. So, you know, it might need work. Anyway, discussion for this episode, which is obviously completely Zuko-centric. He is the only of the lead characters in the episode, besides, obviously,
he's alone.
He's alone. He's alone. It's Zuko. He's alone. I don't know if anyone's picked up on that yet. But yes, it is Zuko alone. All of the rest of the people, the gang, as we've recently apparently discovered that not everyone knew what that meant, are not here. It's only Fire Nation and Zuko's travels, you know, alone through the Earth Kingdom. The first discussion point we have here is that we appreciate the continuity of the ostrich horse hanging out, even though I being Ariana, still thinks that Zuko is a little bitch for taking it in the first place, which is true, he is. It was a bad move. Hopefully he's trying to make up for it now. But, you know, does anyone have any deep feelings about the ostrich horse? Caitlin, any thoughts?
I mean, I can't disagree that he was a little bitch for taking it, so.
Yeah, he was terrible for taking it. Ariana, why don't you expand on this point, given that you felt it should be our number one talking point for this episode?
Oh, I was just trying to go in semi-chronological order.
No, I know, I'm joking.
Yeah, I just liked the ostrich horse.
Yeah, I mean, the show has very decent continuity, like people's hair grows and stuff. Look, have you noticed that his hair is growing? It's beautiful, isn't it great?
Yeah, I finally understand the whole hairbender thing.
Oh, just you think you understand, Ariana. you think you understand. But yes, continuity in this show in general is really good. Like, I like people's, you know, either their appearances or sort of the conditions of what they're in over time. You know, you'll see things that might come up later. There was actually some people in this episode that you may or may not see later and may or may not remember that you've seen before. So that's interesting, and we might, you know, get to that. But Karen, I mean, how does Zuko traveling alone at this point make you feel?
Kind of sad. I was actually really surprised that they decided to center an entire episode on him without even a glimpse at any of the other characters. And I think considering that he was supposed to be a villain right from the very beginning, but we're seeing him kind of progress through the kingdoms and maybe realize that the Fire Nation is doing some pretty bad things, I think it's interesting that we get to watch that journey of him going through that, and I don't know, but yeah, it made me sad.
Good. Correct answer. Gold star for Karen. The other, obviously one of the big things about Zuko in this episode is that he uses his non-firebending skills because he's sort of undercover. He uses his double broadswords, and we sort of see in the flashbacks Azula's insane talent at firebending and Zuko's sort of, you know, mediocre practicing. And so do we, you know, do we think that he sort of took up the sword fighting as something to be really good at because he's only a mediocre firebender? This is apparently a long-winded way of saying let's talk about, you know, Zuko and what we've learned about his past and how he was as a child and sort of how he chooses to operate in the world. So, Ariana, as a newbie, what are you taking from, you know, the whole Zuko story that has unfolded to this point in this episode and the, you know, the sword fighting versus the firebending and compared to Azula as a child and stuff like that?
I don't know. That's kind of why I was, like, long-winded. I don't really know what I'm supposed to... I don't know. Like, I like Zuko. I definitely don't have this, like, same really strong feelings that everyone else seems to have for him. Like, I think he's cool and he's fine, but, like, I like him when he interacts with the other characters, and I think similarly, like, if you put, like, if Aang had an episode all by himself, or Sokka even, or Katara, I don't think I would enjoy that as much. I like it when they interact all together.
And so, what you're saying is you're not a fan of Zuko alone. Sorry. I'm very sorry. Anyway.
Like, I appreciate that this is, like, part of his journey. But I don't know. I like the flashbacks part.
I love the flashbacks. I have such strong feelings about the baby, the fire babies. Yeah, I mean, Caitlin, obviously, as an old bee, I'm not going to, you know, what's the opposite to a newbie? A super fan, that's right, that's what we say. an old bee. Is this one of your, you know, preferred episodes, or is this one you can sort of take or leave? How do you feel about getting to this point with this episode?
I mean, I think this is possibly the best episode in the series, and when we did Sept Bender a few, like, last year or the year before, we did a top 10 Avatar episodes list, and I wrote about Zuko alone, so I have a lot of feelings about Zuko alone.
Okay. Would you like to expand on those? Sorry if I just, like, ruined the microphone by, like, clapping into it, but yeah. I don't know if it's my number one favorite. It's very close. It would be, for me, definitely top five, probably top two or three. You can tell that, Caitlin and I are both googly-eyed Zuko stans, which the reasons for that being may have unfolded by now. But, yeah, as Karen was saying, to get a focal episode on one character who used to be a villain this far into the second season maybe means you should be paying attention to his journey. So
Wait, I think just thought of something. So after you talk, Caitlin, just remind me. I can clarify my thoughts now, but you go first, Caitlin.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, you clearly have a lot of feelings about this episode, Caitlin. Would you like to kind of tell us about them?
Okay, well, I'll start saying I don't know if it's my favorite episode, but I think quality-wise it might be one of, like, the best done in the entire series. And all the Western references to different Western films and High Noon showdowns and the loner going into town and helping the stranger and that sort of thing. Like, all the Western references are phenomenal. I just... Zuko is so interesting, and I have so many feelings that are spoilery, that tie into this, so it's hard to talk about, but it's so fascinating to see his journey, and that he's gone from obsessed with, or you can see where his kind of obsession with his father's good name is, or good feelings is coming from, and that his mother is, he was a mama's boy, and then his mother went missing from his life, and he has this psychopathic sister. And...
Oh my god, she's so insane.
Oh my god.
I know how insane she is, but I'd, like, forgotten, if you know what I mean. Like, you can't quite grasp onto how insane she is until it's, like, in your face again, and oh my god.
She's a child, and she's still that horrible. She's like, Dad's gonna kill you! Ha ha! Like, what is wrong with you?
So. And she bullies her friends, and I don't know why they put up with it. Like, it just, Azula, you need Jesus. Like,
that girl is cray-cray.
Like, seriously. But one thing that I always kind of liked in Zuko's travels, you know, is that obviously people don't really know that the Fire Lord burned him and sent him away. We've seen how that happened. It's not that known about. He didn't grow up having the scar, and everyone's like, the Fire Nation prince has that scar. And so he gets away with it by people thinking he is, like, a victim of the Fire Nation, which I always really like the way that they do that, basically. Like, that he's undercover by looking like someone who has pissed off the Fire Nation, so he is therefore good. Which is true. I mean, all of those things are true. You know, that he did piss off the Fire Nation, or a Fire Nation person, and therefore he has the scar. So I always liked that. But the flashbacks, they're so... Yeah. Karen, how did you feel about the flashbacks? Oh, sorry, Ariana had a thought. She wanted to clarify. Ariana, yes, well, what was your clarification?
I'm about to make a bunch of enemies, but that's fine, because everybody already hates me for liking Katara. So I'll just be straight up. I thought this episode was boring for me. Like, I much preferred the next episode. I loved that one, but I thought this one was kind of dull. But I think, like, when I was listening to you guys talk, I realized it's probably because, like, when you guys watched it the first time, you felt like you had gotten so much insight into Zuko, whereas I feel like I already had that insight. Like, they didn't show me anything I couldn't have inferred already. Do you understand what I mean? Like we kind of already know Zuko is a good guy deep down, and he's just been messed up by his dad, and his sister's crazy. And so, like, it was kind of nice to get some like, the most interesting thing to me was to find out just how crazy Azula is, because like, I've realized now that she's, like, batshit insane. She just has something wrong with her that obviously started very young. But Zuko, I don't feel any differently from him than I did before. It's not I like him more after this episode. I already liked him, and I still like him now.
I don't feel differently about him. Obviously, I didn't at the time. I already loved him. It's more one of those, like, validation things, I think, at least for me. I love all episodes of television shows that are, like, a focal point of a character that I love just being miserable or whatever. Like, I love that. Like, I love those, like, you know, drawn out, you know, suffering, like, profile episodes about one character. Like, I'm really into that, whereas I don't actually like group dynamics that much. I like characters. I don't really care about groups that much. So, Yeah, so I'm very big fan of this episode, and I didn't feel like it was missing too much from the other one. But yeah, I mean, I guess go around the group. Caitlin, out of the two episodes we watched, like this one and the chase, which one did you prefer?
I mean, I like this one a little better, but I'm super biased.
Yeah.
In favor of Zuko, so it's hard to say. It's a really good pair of episodes.
It is a very good pair. It's a very important pair of episodes. It's very,
But I think Zuko alone is just kind of revolutionary in that it gives this entire episode to a character who is not essentially one of the good guys at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just think it's so interesting with what it's doing.
I guess it's just like I never felt like he wasn't one of the good guys.
Well,
like, why would you guys be so obsessed with somebody who is bad?
Loki.
I mean, I guess you could be.
Yeah, literally all television.
I don't watch Marvel, so.
So many bad people are amazing, but like Klaus on Vampire Diaries, even though I don't ever watch that show, I know that he is like this epic heartbreaking character, even though he is super evil. And I don't know, Zuko is very special to very many people, and it's definitely for a reason. And I think everyone who has been watching, doing Rewatchable has obviously got. No one's been good at being subtle and unbiased about Zuko of the old crowd of the super fans. No one has been subtle, so yes, there is definitely that aspect. But Karen, what about you? Out of the two episodes that we watched, did you have a preference or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked Zuko alone, but I loved the chase just a little bit more, and I think it's just because Sokka is my spirit animal.
Sokka, I'm so Team Sokka in that episode. I know that we're going to get to the Team Katara versus Team Toph thing. I'm definitely Team Sokka of that dynamic. But yes, we'll carry on with this episode for the moment. The flashbacks, obviously, very important. Fire babies, the dangerous ladies as children, and Zuko as a child with mother, Ursa. Zuko's mother, we've got some big questions here from Ariana in the doc. We've got, what's her deal? Did she die? Did Ozai kill her? Why is Azula so cold? 15 question marks. I don't know. All of these questions are good questions. The end.
Yeah. Good questions. That's it. So, good job.
Okay, so I just get to sit here and wonder if she died. That's great.
What impression happened? Did you get? Yeah.
I got the impression that she, like, sacrificed herself so that Ozai wouldn't have to kill Zuko.
Interesting. Like, the thing that Azulon was saying, like, you'll have to... interesting. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. This is the greatest... the greatest mystery in Avatar fandom. Like, this is Zuko's mother... They like lampshade it in Legend of Korra. They have like people in Legend of Korra like asking the new Avatar like about the history. I'm like, did you ever hear what happened to Zuko's mom? Like, it's the biggest mystery in the fandom. It has been solved. It has been canonically solved, but it will not be canonically solved in the show. So, soz, you're gonna have to hang in there.
Does it do they solve it in Korra, or is it just like in an interview or something?
One of the comics.
Comics. They made a canonical comic about the solution of this mystery.
Can I go, like, read it, or is it spoilery?
No, you definitely can't read it without watching the rest of Avatar The Last Airbender. No.
Okay.
It's certainly a sequel to the series. Very, very much so. It's a mystery, basically, and it is that only came out, like, last year, like, as opposed, and the show ended in 2008. So for, like, it was... It's the biggest mystery in the fandom, basically. She's gone from the Fire Nation. Basically, she's left. She's left wherever she is. She may be dead. She may be, maybe she turned into the moon spirit. I don't know. Something happened to her, but yes. We have, obviously, Ozai, who, by the way, we still haven't seen his face properly, becoming the Fire Lord. Azulon dying, Ursa vanishing, and Zuko and Azula basically left to be raised by their, horrible father. So, you know, theories. I'd love, you know, I'd love to hear, you know, Karen, if you had a theory, because I actually think Ariana's theory is really good and not one that I'd considered before. But yeah.
I don't know. I just thought she left. Like, I didn't have a whole lot of information to go on. So I was like, okay, she left, but I'm not sure what exactly that solved, like how that would make it any easier on Zuko. So I don't know if maybe I just missed something or I'm just not very good at solving mysteries.
Okay. None of you are biting on the biggest clue, and I just... Caitlin, you know what I'm talking about, I assume.
I do know what you're talking about.
The biggest clue.
Yeah. There's a huge clue as to what this has to do with, and I just can't.
She turned into a duck. She turned into a turtle duck.
Yes, that's it. She nailed it. Ariana got it. Sorry, everyone. Like, this is the answer. No, and I just, we're just going to move on from that, but that's fine. The turtle ducks, they're gorgeous. They're, like, my favorite of the combination animals in the show. I think that they deserve a talking point. How did everyone feel about the turtle ducks? Ariana?
I don't know. I have to go watch that episode again now because I'm just like, what is that clue? I'm so stumped. I can't
really?
Move on, guys.
I
yeah.
I want to bury my face in a pillow. I want to tell you so badly. I want to tell you so badly. Karen, turtle ducks, what do you think?
Well, considering I put them down as my favorite scene, I liked them a lot because, I mean, how do you make a turtle and a duck cuter? You combine them.
I have one. I have a sculpture of a turtle duck.
What?
In my house. Leo made it. She made it at I'll send you a picture. It's so cute. It doesn't have feet. It like sits on the desk, so it's got like a flat bottom, so it's like floating in the water. But yeah, we have a turtle duck.
Oh my god.
We love the turtle ducks. Big turtle duck fan. They're so cute. Anyway. Caitlin, would you like to contribute anything to the Zuko's mum debate, or mystery, clue, extravaganza?
No comment.
I think that's it. That's a good, safe one, I think, yeah. I think it is certainly something that is, you know, raises a lot of questions for a lot of people about where she's gone, about, you know, why it happened at that time, how it helped Zuko, like, why would she abandon him or whatever. Like, not that I think that, you know, I don't think he thinks she just abandoned him. Like, it was obviously, that conversation was obviously very, like, you know, something bad is happening. But, yeah, definitely a lot of questions there, so have fun.
Did Azula do something to her?
No, I can safely say no. Azula is like 8 there, so like.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Psycho.
I didn't think she was 8. That. Yeah, I didn't think she was that crazy yet, but.
No, I wouldn't put it. I don't think she has a lot of care for her mother, or at least she doesn't act like she does. I think that one of the aspects of that Fire Nation family is really interesting about the care that they have for each other, like Zuko and her and his mother, and like. You know, even Ursa, like, you know, she loves Azula, even though she's like, what is wrong with that child? If you know what I mean, like, she knows Azula is fucked up. Like, she really knows, but it's her daughter and she sort of can't do anything about it. So I think the Fire Nation family is really interesting. And you know, we do see Azula and her relationship with her friends, with Mai and Ty Lee. They changed the pronunciation of her name. Like, some people call her Mai and some people call her Mai. So it's, there's a couple of episodes where they call her Mai, and it's really confusing. But Mai and Ty Lee, you know, them as, you know, children and playing, and then, you know, playing with Zuko as well. And it's something as well that, I mean, we throw back to when you see Azula recruit Ty Lee. Mai is very willing to go because she's bored in her, like, city. And I love Mai. I love her. But Ty Lee, she kind of manipulates, but Ty Lee never acts like she manipulates her. And we see a bit more of that here where she kind of, you know, Ty Lee is better at something than she is, you know, so Azula knocks her down and Ty Lee is just like, whatever about it. Like, Ty Lee does not respond to her manipulation. Like, she doesn't ever seem to be hurt by it. And I don't know, Ty Lee worries me sometimes. She's an interesting girl. But yeah, what did you think about the flashbacks to the friendships, the relationships she has with those people, because we see them, we're hugging, I've missed you so much. Like, do you think it's just, they have to act like her friends because she's the princess and, you know, they're going to die otherwise? Or, like, what do you think of that relationship between the dangerous ladies? Karen, what are you sort of making of it at this point?
I think that they kind of know that Azula is a dangerous person, but I don't feel like, even though Azula manipulates them, I think they sort of allow her to. They look up to her. They know how strong she is. And I think they know if they stick with her, then they're going to be okay. And so I kind of don't really have any sympathy for them. I think they're interesting characters, but I feel like, you know, even though they're not as crazy as Azula is, I do kind of worry about their mental health, too.
Nice way of putting it. Ariana, what are you thinking? I know that you are a fan of the Mei and Zuko potential little crush situation. But what do you make of what we saw of them in this episode?
I think their relationship is really interesting. I think that they do really care about each other and that they are genuine friends, but I think that it's also really authentic the way that they're so mean to each other, like as children, because like little girls are like little psychopaths. If you think about think about how you played with your friends when you were like in first grade and stuff, like little girls are mean. Like one second, I don't know, it's a power struggle. And because you haven't learned to socialize yet and like, maybe I should be nice. So I thought that was really interesting.
Caitlin, do you have a favorite of the dangerous ladies at all? Do you have any thoughts, feelings about them?
I love Mei.
I love Mei.
Mei's my girl.
I love
Mei
so much. I love that. Like she's just so like, I love her and Ty Lee. Like, I think, we were watching this and Leo was like, they are like what Britney and Santana should have been like, about her and Ty Lee, which is somewhat true. But I love Mei as well. But I'd sort of forgotten about seeing them as kids in this episode. Like I sort of knew there were flashbacks, but I'd forgotten that this was that, if you know what I mean, because there's often flashbacks in this show to various things. And I'd forgotten that this was the episode with the, you know, the turtle ducks and the apple and the pushing into the pond. I don't know, I think it is realistic in terms of what Ariana said. Like, I think that, you know, it doesn't seem like little girls being forced to be friends with the princess and like kind of, you know, bitching about her behind her back, or, you know, that they are her, you know, kind of, it used to be that, like, if we're talking about realistic, like historical courts, that other little noble girls or noble women would be like the court of the, you know, royals, and they would almost be like in the next level up from servants. It would be like you had your servants and then you had your like ladies in waiting who were your quote-unquote friends, but that was kind of their job, if you know what I mean. And I don't feel like that these girls, it's their job to be Azula's friend or anything, but she is still a horrible person to be friends with. Ariana would like to announce that she thinks that Iroh's gift to Zuko was way better than Azula's and that she fucking loves dolls, but he gave Zuko a sword. Already playing favorites, or is it sexism? Because I think it's pretty obvious that Azula is not a dolls kind of girl. Now, I don't think I've ever thought of this as particular either playing favorites or sexism. I've pretty much thought about this as Iroh being an idealist, if you know what I mean, that he... You know, I don't think he knows them that well at this point. They're pretty young. He's been away for however long, and I don't think he knows them well enough to know that what Azula is like. And I think that he is sort of just an idealist in terms of what, you know, children might like. I don't think that he's already playing favorites with Zuko. But did anyone else take that scene in a particular way? Karen, did you have any thoughts about Iroh's gifts from afar?
Yeah.
Like the flashbacks to Iroh in general from where he's in Ba Sing Se.
Well, I love anything to do with Iroh, so that was cool seeing him in flashbacks. I actually took it as the complete opposite. I took it as Iroh maybe knowing what they needed, not necessarily what they wanted, because we know that Zuko wasn't very good at firebending, so hey, maybe he needs a new skill. Here's a knife. And Azula is a crazy person, so here's a doll, like, go be normal for a day.
Yeah. I think that that's probably, you know, an accurate summary. I don't think it's necessarily like, ooh, sexist toys. But I think that, I think that it ties into what I said about it sort of being an idealistic gift. Caitlin, what about your thoughts about the, you know, the Iroh flashbacks and, you know, him as the general in Ba Sing Se?
I love seeing that. Because we've only seen really this one side of Iroh and where he's traveling with Zuko. And so it's nice to see him back when he was in good favor with the Fire Nation prior to Ozai taking over. But I think it's interesting to see what kind of attitude he had. And he was still fairly similar to the Iroh that we know in the present.
Yeah, that's the thing. He was really respectful, like, about what he was doing, if you know what I mean. Like, he was very respectful of the, you know, the Ba Sing Se, I guess the people. I mean, he was still a general trying to take over their city, but he was like, you're so beautiful, you know, it's going to be so beautiful. And like the thing with the dagger seemed to have some sort of measure of honor to it. Like, he wasn't a tyrant. It's not like he went from tyrant to like broken man or something like that. Like, I'll skip over this one point and go back to it because I sort of wanted to keep this conversation about Iroh for the second. We also learn that, like, he had a son who was, I guess, you know, a participant in the army, and that Iroh was the heir. Like, did you guys – was that something that newbies were aware of before this episode, that Iroh was the, like, the older brother and that he was actually the heir? Karen, was that something you guys knew about?
I didn't realize that, and I was actually pretty surprised.
Yeah. Because that's something we learned, that he was the heir. You know, he is the older brother. The Fire Lord is the younger brother. And he had an older, you know, Iroh had a son who would have been the next Fire Lord after Iroh. That son died in the war. And when he died, Iroh basically resigned being, like, it, you know, broke him. Or, you know, he sort of came back, you know, gave up doing the military thing and was just, you know, he was basically too emotionally overcome to continue, and according to that, Azula, that makes you, like, a weak and pathetic person, because she's a bundle of joy and fun with lots of compassion, and we love her. How do you guys think, like, Iroh, that losing his son, like, changed him? Was that something you ever kind of expected, you know, to see from him? Like, you know, obviously he's very attached to Zuko. Like, did you think that it was just, that just was, you know, because of Zuko's many charms, or that it was, like, you know, projecting or something like that? Ariana, what did you think of seeing that whole Iroh story?
I didn't think that he was the oldest, so that was interesting. That was an interesting tidbit.
Like, if Iroh had become the Fire Lord, do you think the war would still be going on?
I think everything would have changed.
When Iroh became the Fire Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah. When Fire Lord Iroh attacked.
With tea.
Jesus Christ.
But I did think that that was interesting, because now I'm calling it, third season is going to be like, let's get Iroh the throne back. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I would have liked to see what, you know, obviously it would have been really nice if Fire Lord Ozai hadn't been such a royal dick and usurped Iroh's birthright to the throne. I'm sort of surprised they didn't have him killed, if you know what I mean. Like, he's still out there. Like, what did the Fire Nation say? Be like, oh, so the Crown Prince isn't going to be the king anymore? Like, we're just, that's fine. Like, everything is fine. Like, our respected general, he's just, whatever.
Like, you know, that does seem odd. Like,
they said it was Zulon's final wish. That Ozai become king.
Yeah, big fucking deal. Zulon's final wish, interesting, yeah. How convenient.
I mean, if it was a different, if it wasn't someone, like, as chill as Iroh, they probably could have fought it.
Yeah.
And had, like, a civil war. But Iroh's probably like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't want to be a part of that. Yeah, given that he sort of left with Zuko anyway, I don't think he cared too much. So, Yeah, basically that's, you know, Arianna's current theory that, you know, since they revoked Iroh's birthright, season three, or can that mean that season three will be all about getting him back on the Fire Nation throne since he's not batshit insane? Karen, is that kind of where you're going at the moment with this?
I would be totally on board with that, but I always kind of assumed that the end game would be to get Zuko on the throne.
Who would you prefer out of those two to be the next Fire Nation king? Fire. What do we call him? Fire Lord.
I think I would go with Iroh just because he's older, has more experience, he's wiser, and I think he has his temper under a little bit more control. I think Zuko could eventually have the potential to be a good Fire Lord, but I don't know if he needs that weight on his shoulders right now.
How about you, Caitlin, if you're talking from a, you know, an objective perspective about, you know, at this point, which of those two potential Fire Lord options you think would be good?
I mean, at this moment, Zuko has way too much baggage to be anything close to helpful, so Iroh all the way.
Yeah. I think Fire Lord Iroh could have really changed the world if, you know, as we said, Fire Lord Ozai hadn't been such a massive dick. But oh well. The actual plot of the non-flashback part of the episode, you know, Zuko zooms in and he sort of saves that kid and, you know, he gives him the dagger, basically. I mean, he gives him the dagger and then he saves him and then he gives him the dagger again. So what did you guys think of Zuko giving the kid that dagger? Like, were you sad because he gave away Iroh's gift? Are you glad that it was returning to an Earth Nation, Earth Kingdom person? Like, what do you think it says about Zuko that he chose to give him that? So, Arianna, since you pitched that question, what did you have an answer for it?
No.
Okay. okay.
Basically, like, anything that happened in real time, I did not care about at all. So I don't know. How did I feel? I think it was kind of messed up that, you know, Iroh was killing Earthbender people in the first place. Mm. And, I mean, it was nice that Zuko got a sword, and I guess it's nice he gave it back. I don't know. Killing people's bad.
It is, yes. And I don't think Iroh was, you know, a fan of it in theory or anything, but there we go. I took it as the second sort of those two pitches that you put. Like, I thought he was doing it as a, like, I'm going to give this to, like, an Earth Kingdom deserving person because I don't deserve to have this, it was wrong, etc. That's how I took it. I didn't take it as, like, his further dismissal of his love for Iroh or anything, if you know what I mean. Caitlin, how about you?
I mean, I think about it in terms of what the inscription says, which is never give up without a fight. And I don't think Zuko needs that reminder anymore because he's always fighting.
He's going to fight everything. Yeah.
So that's never something he needs a reminder of, whereas this kid is still kind of developing a sense of self and whatever. So that reminder could be more valuable to him than it is to Zuko.
Yeah. Karen, how about you and the knife gate or whatever we want to call it?
I was really sad that he gave it back, actually, just because it was a gift to him, and I feel like that dagger meant a lot to him. But hearing you guys talk about the fact that he didn't need it anymore and that maybe somebody else needed it more than him makes me realize that that's probably true. And I mean, yeah, it was a nice sentiment to be able to give it back to an Earth Nation person. But initially I was kind of sad that he gave it up.
Aww. Okay. A couple of quick questions about the present day thing that, Arianna does not care too much about, but, I'm going to ask them anyway. Basically the end reveal of Zuko, you know, he's doing a very good job at controlling himself and just like being a warrior with his swords. And then at the end, after he gets hit in the head, he's basically sort of without his control, his fire comes out and then he fights with the fire. They basically learn that he is, I mean, he could have said anything. He's a really bad liar, Zuko, because he could have said anything. Like, would it be too much to believe that he was, like, a Fire Nation, like, that he was a person who was from the Fire Nation who didn't believe in the war and he'd run away from the Fire Nation army and that he was, like, a rebel? Like, would that have been too much to say? No, but he, no, he kind of reveals that he's the prince, like that that's meant to mean, like that that's a good thing, like that that's meant to mean something. You know, he reveals that he's the Fire Nation prince. Note that he says son of Ursa and Fire Lord Ozai, like he cares more about being her son than his son, which I always really liked. But yeah, basically he says that, and then you have people in the crowd being like, oh, I've heard of that. I've heard that, you know, he's not, you know, he's not worth anything. His father burnt him and banished him. So I was always a bit pissed at the family for being like, get the hell away from me after that, because yeah, Fire Nation bad, but if they've just learnt that he was also banished and like stuff like that, like it's kind of like, does that not tell you something? Like that they, did you guys think that their reaction to him after they found out that he was also banished and not actually like, you know, accepted, like that he was an outcast, does him being related to the, you know, the Fire Lord, you know, still mean that he's evil? Like, do you think that reaction was fair of the child and the mother, basically? Karen, how did you take that scene at the, you know, the reveal of Zuko's princeliness?
I was really mad at that kid because he just saved his life, and he was like, yeah, you're from the Fire Nation, we don't like you, and I don't know, have a little gratitude.
Yeah, I was same, honestly. And Caitlin, I assume you were also same.
I mean, I think it's completely understandable, like maybe not completely rational, but when you're struggling that much with war and having nothing and your child was just captured by the Fire Nation and you have this guy who's like proudly saying that he's a prince of the Fire Nation, are you really gonna embrace him wholeheartedly? Like, come
on. I suppose, no, for sure not the way that Zuko presented himself. I agree. I just, you know, when they were like, he's an outcast, his father burnt his face off, then I'd kind of be like, oh, everyone is a victim here. I don't know. Anyway, so that happened. And then the last point that we have here is, you know, Karen's question about, which I sort of touched on earlier, which is that they don't show Ozai's face. They'll show him, look him down. They'll show him, like, you know, the back of his head. They'll show every part of him except looking at him straight in the face. So anyone got a theory as to why? Like, I mean, I don't have an answer for that, except that, like, it's going to be really dramatic when they do, and, like, he's too beautiful to look at.
his voice is enough. That Mark.
Yeah, like, you think I'm joking, but, you know. Anyway, yeah, but no, I think it's a slow reveal. I don't know why they felt the need to do that. Like, it's kind of, you know, a tactic of a children's show to keep something really mysterious and evil, I guess. But yes, they are very purposely not showing Ozai full in the face. I can't remember when they do. You will. They will. Just wait for it. But yes, it's very purposely done, and I don't really have an answer as to why. But did you have any theories, Karen?
I mean, it certainly makes him more ominous. Like,
yeah.
If they keep showing only, you know, parts of his face and stuff, I don't know. He's very scary. And the day that we do see his entire face, I don't know if it's going to be like, oh my God, I'm so scared or what. But yeah, it's very suspenseful. Yeah.
He's too beautiful to look at in direct light. I'm telling you, that's the answer.
If he has, like, a very normal face, that's going to be super anticlimactic, because now I'm expecting, like...
Maybe he has, like, a baby face and he looks, like, ridiculous or something, like, you know.
And that's why he's so psychotic.
Like, is he someone we've seen before? Is that why?
No,
That's the only, like, reason I can think of that legitimate. I will tell you
straight up, yeah, straight up, no, he's not. It's just a slow reveal for the sake of drama on a children's show. I don't have a better answer.
Maybe he's
Boomy,
guys.
Okay, that's it. She's nailed it again. Ursa is the turtle duck, and Ozai is actually Boomy leading a double life. She's literally solved all of the mysteries of this show.
You picked that up so much more quickly than I ever did. Oh my God, it's not fair.
Let's move on quickly to the favorite scenes and quotes from this one. Mine, I will quickly say, just because mine's on the top of the list, apparently, I said the entire episode, but mostly Fire Babies, but that's a bit of a cop-out, because it is a lot of the episode. Probably specifically was actually the kids stealing Zuko's swords, and then Zuko teaching him in the field, like him kind of you know, sneaking up on him and watching him and helping him in the field. I really liked that scene of Zuko teaching the child a lot. You know, I don't know. I just really did. But anyway, I did not mind the things that happened in the present in this episode, even though the flashback ones were also very important. Karen, how about you?
Turtle ducks, hands down.
Yeah, the turtle ducks are gorgeous and I love them. And it's the turtle ducks are such a metaphor for Zuko's soul. So, yeah.
They were super cute, Karen, but I think that they were outdone by the chicken pig that was on that kid's fence.
That was pretty awesome.
I loved all of the farm animals being part pig. I really love that. And Caitlin, how about you?
So mine was when Zuko goes all Bamf Fire Prince style and he's like, yo, what's up? I'm the prince. Like, I like that because I think it's really important that he's finally like accepting that's who he is and has a reason to kind of keep going on. And yeah.
I mean, I think Zuko needs to work out what being the prince means to him, if you know what I mean. I don't know why he still wants his daddy's approval. Like, I don't know if he hasn't realized by now that his daddy is a complete, you know, dick. But, you know, I think that he needs to work out what being the Fire Prince means to him. And perhaps this is part of that journey. So, yeah. In terms of favorite lines, quotes, I really loved the kind of, you know, Zuko struggling as a child, sort of being like, Azula always lies, Azula always lies. And when we flash back to present day and he's sort of still doing it, it's so sad and I can't live, basically.
He's so traumatized by her. It's so bad.
He's so fucked up because of her. Like, he's so messed up. But, yeah. Anyway, Karen, how about you in terms of favorite lines?
Mine came from Azula, strangely enough, but she was describing Iroh as his royalty-loving kookiness, and I just thought that was the most accurate description ever.
Yeah, yeah. I do like Azula. I think she has really good humor. Like, I think she's very funny, and she's a great presence, even though she's a mentalist. But yeah, Ariana, how about you with your quote?
Mine was when that kid was throwing eggs at the guys, and then they thought it was Zuko, and they're like, well, it had to come from somewhere. And he is like, maybe a chicken flew over. And I just laughed and laughed. Chickens don't fly, guys. Chickens can't fly.
Oh, my God. Such a complex and important joke. No, I did as well, because he's so deadpan. Like,
yes.
Like, was he trying to make a joke? Is that Zuko's idea of trying to make a joke is what I need to know.
Because he's
real bad at it. Like, he's so bad at
existing.
Everything. Oh, why do I love people who are so shit? Anyway, sorry, but it's true. Derek Hale. Caitlin, how about you for the quote?
Mine was Ursa, and she says, that's who you are, Zuko, someone who keeps fighting even though it's hard, because that pretty much sums up Zuko's character.
Oh, baby. Yes, no, it's true. He's very, you know, persistent in whatever direction he takes it in. But we'll move on now to episode 8, chapter 8 of season 2, The Chase, which is back to the whole group, back to our first episode back with Toph. So I'll go into the synopsis for this one. In this chapter, Aang and the gang. Do we say gang or gang? Caitlin, what one do you say?
I say gang.
Gang. Aang and the gang are adjusting to having Toph on the team because she doesn't want to do anything. And Katara's like, bitch, y'all better help out. But then everything changes when the Fire Nation attacks. They hop on Appa and run away from those three crazy chicks with a bulldozer, but oh no, they can't outrun them because Appa is shedding. So everyone is sleepy and grumpy and maybe a little dopey too from spending the whole, what whole night? Is this
night?
I don't, yeah. Is this night in Spanish? Because I can't pronounce anything in Spanish, Ariana.
Yeah, we'll just say night.
Okay, you can say it if you like.
No, that's fine. I'll remember for next time.
Okay, yeah, I am as a peasantly Australian, Spanish is one of the languages that we do not get any. I know that everyone in North America gets a lot of exposure to Spanish. We do not in Australia. It is very, very much not. So I'm very bad. I'm sorry. The whole night running away. And so Toph takes it out on Appa, and Aang is like, oh, hell no. So Toph leaves and meets Iroh, and he's been watching out for a lonely Zuko this whole time because he's nice like that and drinks tea. And drinks tea for his Zen and motorcycle maintenance. And then she's like, okay, I'll go back. And then Aang splits up from the gang to go have a showdown with Azula, but then everything changes when Zuko shows up. The three of them have a Bamf battle, but, like, who are we kidding? Aang is the Avatar and he has friends, and they show up. And then Azula disappears, but not before knocking out Iroh, who's maybe dead, but no, not really, because it's only the beginning of the second season and everyone knows that the white-bearded mentor has to die at the end of the penultimate chapter. Yeah. Okay, so everyone prepare yourself for a battle of wills, because we're gonna have a chat about the Katara and Toph altercation, and basically, you know, who was right, who was wrong, who said what, you know, are we, you know, team who, team this, team that. So the main altercation being Toph's attitude towards, you know, basically Toph's attitude towards what is fair versus Katara's attitude towards what is fair in terms of, you know, traveling with a group and all of that kind of thing. So go around the group. Caitlin, you first, I suppose. You know, were you team Toph or team Katara in this, if you had to pick a side?
I'm totally team Katara on this one.
And Karen?
Same.
And Ariana is obviously very much team Katara, given her commentary on this, saying, dude, Toph is being a little princess bitch. Also, I'm super impressed that Katara and Sokka have shared a tent this whole time and not killed each other yet. So I have very mixed feelings about this. Mainly, I will say this. I think that I want everyone to talk about their feelings about this because I think it's an important moral lesson. I think that Toph is obnoxious, but I think I agree with her morals in where she's coming from. I think I agree with Katara's morals in where she's coming from as well. I don't like the way that Katara approaches it, and any compassion that I have for Katara's side is completely eliminated by her being ableist as fuck, basically, about the comment that she makes about Toph not being able to see. Like, it literally, any care about Katara's side I have goes out the window when she's like, oh, the stars are really beautiful, pity you can't see them. I'm just like, did you fucking seriously just do that? So that's my take on that. I understand Toph's side. I potentially agree with her kind of everyone caring for themselves thing, but obviously when you're with a group, it's not really the best way to practice. But when we see her talk to Iroh, I understand why she's trying to show that she's not a burden because she's, you know, just because she's blind, if you know what I mean. I get Katara's side. I just hate her, so I don't like the way she says it. And when she says that comment about the stars, literally any care for her. This is the moment that I'm like, no going back. I hate you, Katara, and I will never, ever like you.
Okay. I have to say, like, if she did say that, that's super messed up. But my impression was that she said it because she was in the tent.
She's
like,
blind, she had Ariana. Herself. She said it because she's blind.
I know, but I forgot that she was blind. I thought she said it because she was, like, locked up in her tent. So it was like, well, if you were out here, I thought it was because she was in the tent.
No, she said it because she's blind. And I hate her, basically.
I assumed the same thing, Ariana.
I think guys, she's blind. Because she's in the tent.
She's blind! Even if she was outside, she wouldn't be able to see. It was because she was blind. It was because Toph had been insulting her with the Sugar Queen and all of that. Katara's idea of insulting her back is to make fun of her for being blind.
I don't think they would allow that on this children's show.
It happened.
That doesn't make sense to me.
It happened.
Caitlin,
there in the show.
Caitlin, what do you think?
I mean, she said it, but I mean, they're kids and kids say crappy things, so it doesn't really bother me. I don't think that's a reflection of Katara. I think she was tired and upset and is like 13 years old and says stupid things, so not really bothered by it.
It's not like I never forgive Katara, and it's not like Toph and Katara never forgive each other, but this was the moment for me where I'm like, Katara, your soul is a black. Like, I don't like you. So, yeah, it's, yeah, so taking into account that, I appreciate both sides of the of Katara's argument. I appreciate Toph's attitude for the way that she's trying to prove that she can not be a burden on people. I think what she, I think Toph is overcompensating the idea that, you know, being blind or, you know, whatever is a burden. So she's trying to take care of everything for herself, you know, and she's never really had to deal with a group before. I don't like Katara's condescending attitude, but I would be on an equal 50-50 split on that argument until Katara said that, and now I hate her. So this is the point where all of my past anger about Katara is mainly coming from this moment. So anyway, not taking that comment into account, did anyone have any kind of thoughts about the argument between the two people? So Karen, what was yours?
I really liked Toph when she was first introduced, and this episode made me kind of take a step back and be like, whoa, is she going to be like this all the time? And I don't think that she is, just because of her chat with Iroh made it really clear why she was acting like this. And I think it's true that she wanted to seem really self-sufficient, but she sort of overcompensated. And I definitely think she was in the wrong for not pitching in. I do think that Katara at first was really nice about it, but then started getting pretty nasty. But I think a lot of that had to do with sleep deprivation. So hopefully in the end, they both kind of come down from their pedestals a little bit and team up and become friends, because I would really like to see that.
Caitlin, how about you in terms of expanding on the argument there?
I think that pretty well sums it up. I get where Toph is coming from, but she overcompensates and is really obnoxious in doing so. And I think Katara is more right in terms of how the group dynamics need to work.
Mm. And Ariana, what were your, obviously you, aside from that Toph being a little princess bitch, aside from that, any builds on that?
Yeah, I'm just, I mean, I'm like, putting that comment aside, I'm completely on Katara's side. And, I mean, everyone else agrees. I think that she's being really dumb. I mean, she's a child. But this is, like, a social situation that I guess because she hasn't lived outside of her family, she is being very spoiled and very, she's not being a team player. And I don't think that that's fair. And I think that, I mean, you said that Katara was being nice, but then she started being mean. I think she's being realistic. Like, look, this is the first time that you're with us. Hey, come help us out. You're not going to help us out. You have to help us out. I mean, we're trying to save the world here by the end of summer.
I think none of you should probably travel with me, because I don't think that there was a right and wrong between them. That's the thing. I don't think that there was a this is right, this is wrong. I think that they were two separate ways of something being fair butting heads, basically. I don't think that there was – this is. I think that if everyone had been doing their own stuff Toph's way, it would have been fine. And if everyone had been doing stuff Katara's way, that would have been fine, if you know what I mean.
But I agree with that, but yeah. Toph was the new person. She was coming into their group. And I think that when you're coming in somewhere, you have to learn to adapt to what's already going on, especially in this kind of situation. That's like when you go to a different country, or like, okay, so I go to Spain, and if they don't eat dinner till 10 o'clock, I'm not going to be sitting there bitching at 5, like, feed me dinner, you guys are crazy. Like, you have to adjust.
Yeah, no, fair call. No, that's true. That's true. And obviously her attitude did come from the overcompensating of not wanting to be a burden, if you know what I mean, of like, I'm, you know, I can take care of myself. I'm not, you know, she's used to people treating her like she's a burden because she's blind. So I get it. But yeah, it's not, you know, it's not the best. But in a perfect society for me, everyone will operate how Toph does as opposed to how Katara does. In general, she's obnoxious, though. If anyone hasn't, like, Toph, like, you know, how do we feel about her overall? I think she's, you know, very, very talented and her points are very valid. She's a bit in your face and aggressive for me, though. So I sometimes love her, I sometimes don't love her, basically, and that will continue on for the rest of the series. So, Karen, you mentioned that you kind of went, you know, you really came in liking her and didn't love her so much at this point. Caitlin, how about you in terms of your Toph feelings, you know, as a character, and, you know, are you a fan of her in the long run?
I love Toph. I think she's great. I think she's a different kind of female character than you see a lot of the time. So
yeah,
what she presents as a character, I think, is wonderful. And I think I like that she's so unique and she is not afraid to be who she is and does not care if anyone else gives a crap. So I appreciate her, but at times she can be grating, but it's like, she is who she is. And I appreciate that she knows who she is and is not going to backtrack on who she is.
Yeah. And I think that she's someone as well, like, not to give too much spoilers away, but, you know, she's got another, you know, another set of vulnerabilities that, you know, like, her vulnerabilities are, you know, are different to other people's, and it's definitely something that they, you know, seeing stuff through her eyes, or, you know, for a lack of better term, seeing stuff through her feet is very different, basically. So, yeah, I like her as a presence, but yes, she can be very, but you put her in a conflict with Katara, she's blunt, Katara's condescending. I'm always going to side with blunt over condescending. I can't take the way that Katara handles things. I would push her off a cliff, so, yeah.
You don't think anyway. That she was blunt, too? I think that she was blunt. She's saying,
yeah, but I
can
think,
you help us? She's saying no. They are both blunt.
I think Katara's bluntness comes from anger as opposed to like, it escalated to anger on both sides, but in the very beginning, Toph is completely like, it's like cold logic. It's like,
no,
she,
I understand.
She's like, yeah.
So Toph is rude all the time. Katara's rude when she's angry.
Yes, I prefer people who are rude all the time, as opposed to people who it comes from heatedness. I genuinely prefer that in people. So
well, I prefer nice people. So.
Karen is like the only nice friend I have, by the way, guys. Like, Karen is like the only person who I'm friends with who I would actually call like nice. Not that you guys aren't all my extended friends, but my people in my close circle. I don't spend a lot of time with people who are not. I mean, we're nice to each other, I'm sure, but yeah, I don't have a lot of time for people who approach things with a sugarcoating. So, and I think Katara does.
Maybe
it too
they're
much.
Just nice people, Natalie. Maybe it's not sugarcoating.
I don't know if I believe that.
You don't believe that people can be nice?
I think that people can be genuine. I think that approaching stuff in the way that Katara does is not genuine. And I think that kind of when you're in close quarters with someone, that kind of approach is sort of a waste of time. But I don't know. Coming from Katara, I don't think it's genuine because we see how much anger she has inside of her all of the time. And I would rather her just be angry, honestly. But this is probably getting a bit too deep.
But she was just angry and you were... Okay. But she was just angry in this episode and that's when you were like, no, she shouldn't have done that.
I mean, she shouldn't have done that about her being, like, line-crossingly rude about a disability. I don't like that she tries to be nice when she doesn't actually feel nice inside and then explodes. Like, and I just want people to be genuine about how they feel all the time, and I don't think she is. That's my main
thing. But if being genuine means being terrible and you're trying to not be terrible, but she's trying to be a nice person. We can't all be terrible all the time. The world would suck. We would be like the Fire Nation.
I don't think everyone is terrible all of the time.
But that's what you're saying, Natalie. You're saying people who are nice are just like pretending.
I think people pretend too much. I think that there's a difference between being genuine and good, like about how you feel, than being nice. Like than being. I don't like the word nice. I don't like the word nice has bad connotations for me. I think the word nice implies fake.
Didn't like, you just say I was your only nice friend?
You're my only real nice friend. This is way too deep and personal
so
for this
cynical.
Episode.
Yes, let's move on.
Where are we up to now? Sorry. The dangerous ladies. Oh, Appa doing all the work. See, Aang's point when he comes in on the fight and is like, you're making it harder for Appa, I think that was valid. But, you know, big cheers to Appa for being able to carry, I guess, the amount of people he's carrying without falling so far. But, you know, if he hadn't been shedding so much, you know, we can't really place the blame for this on Appa like everyone else is trying, well, like Toph is trying to do, which is a giant dick move. anyone have any big feelings and thoughts about Appa so far? I mean, he is a grand personality in the show.
I like that they gave him a bath. That was really cute.
Yeah. I also, I love Appa and Momo. I don't know about Momo doing his fair share for the team, like Katara implies. He's a pet. But I do love them being there, and I love all of the animals in this world. Another question, I suppose, for the group is Toph's attitude about Sokka not being, like, a valid fighter, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, where she was like, yeah, it's 3-on-3, and Sokka's like, what? And, you know, there's 4 of us, and, you know, she's like, oh, sorry, no bending. Bit racist. Or, you know, bendersist. but we've got 3-on-3 plus Sokka. Like, is that a sad but true fact, or is that an unfair assumption? Okay. Karen's got some feelings. Karen, take it away.
I feel like it's not his fault that he's not a bender, and he's got different abilities than the rest of them, but he's still a great fighter, and he can still hold his own.
Yeah, especially since the 2 of the 3 dangerous ladies aren't benders.
I was about to say that, yes.
Yeah, like, it's Azula is the only bender on that team. You know, Mai and Tylee are not, just in case it wasn't sort of obvious so far. So yeah, Ariana, you've made this point. Do you think it's sad but true, or do you think it is, you know, an unfair assumption?
No, I think he's proven that he's really valuable to them.
Yeah.
He just did when they took away, Katara's bending powers, which, by the way, I don't know how she did that. That's, cool and weird. Yeah,
we saw a bit more of that this week. Have you called them the Sanderson sisters? Is that a thing you've done?
Yes.
Good. All right. Basically, yeah, those girls are scary, the Sanderson sisters. Hopefully everyone listening to this podcast is old enough to know what that refers to, and that we're not all, like, outdated, like, children of the 90s. But yeah, and then you've said, what is Mei's thing that takes away bending? How does she do that? It's actually Tylee that does it. She does the poking. She pokes them, and then I can tell you, I don't know how much of a spoiler it is, Caitlin, like, it's not that big a deal, but it does sort of tie into a bigger plot point, not with Tylee specifically. Caitlin, should I say, is this a thing that we can say?
Let's save it till when we actually find out.
Yeah. It's very physically logical / possible. The science works.
Is it like basically an acupuncture kind of thing where she, like, takes away certain...
That's close. That's a very, very close assumption. Yeah. But yes, she does. She fights, and she can, you know... and think like Vulcan nerve pinch kind of thing, like, as well, maybe. Like...
It's so then, like, if you didn't have arms, you couldn't be a bender anymore, right? It's not like magic. Say, if you don't have a wand, you can still do magic.
I don't know. I mean, Toph does things with her feet. Like, I think that if you have bending, you can bend. Like, Aang does things with his breath. Like, I think that you just have to be quite adaptable, if you know what I mean. I'm pretty sure that, your hands, you know... But that being said, if the Vulcan nerve pin point is in the arms, maybe Katara can only bend with her hands. Maybe waterbenders can only bend with their hands. But we've seen people bend with, like, you know, breath and feet and stuff. So I'd hope that if you got your arms cut off that you would still be able to be a bender. And you've said, now we're supposed to ship Tylee and Sokka, right? Fine, I ship it. I kind of do as well. I do like their interactions. I like the entire interactions of the dangerous ladies with the group, like, with the gang, though. Like, I think that's really funny. So, yeah, out of you guys at the moment, Ariana and Karen, do you have, like, now that we've seen more of this chase of the three girls, do you have any particular, are you a fan of any of the characters interacting so far? You know, whether it's Tylee and Sokka or one of those three girls in general, like, do you have any new faves there, Ariana?
I love all three of them. They're my favorites to watch right now. I think they're super funny.
Yeah. And Karen, how about you?
I like Mei. Is Mei the emo one?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I like her a lot. I just like how she, well, first of all, she's really skilled. She's a really good fighter. But she's just kind of like dark and sad and brooding all the time. And I don't know. I just like her.
I she's like also her. A teenager.
she's such a teen. Gotta love these teens. Love the teens. Yeah, and I like her, like, knife fighting and all of her, you know, whatever it is that she does, her daggers and stuff like that. I love her. Then Toph goes off on her excellent adventure, you know, and sulk into the woods and meets Iroh. Just going around the table, how did everyone feel about this meeting of the minds? So, Caitlin, how about you?
I mean, it was my favorite scene, so I'm going to go with thumbs up, love it.
And
I
love, like, this one.
Like, it's just the random combinations that you would not expect end up being so great and working so well.
Yeah. At this point, is there any, I mean, you know what happens in the future, but at this point, does anyone have any, like, pairings that they want to see meet up, like characters that they want to see have a conversation that we know and haven't really seen have a proper conversation yet? Because by the end of this episode, a lot of our leading players are in the same place, but they don't really get to sit down and have a chat. So Arianna, what did you think of the Iroh Toph scene, and what's your ideal meetup pairing at this point?
I don't know. I mean, I guess we're supposed to feel something there, but I'm just, like, really mad at Toph right now. I feel, like, extra mad because, like, I used to watch this show when I was 12, and I don't remember anything about it. I just remember that, like, Toph was my favorite character. Like, she was everybody in our family's favorite character. And I'm watching these two episodes, and I'm like, dang, Toph is so obnoxious. So I don't know if that's, like, something that changed in me as I grew up, or if that's just, like, if she gets better eventually. So,
I mean, I think they're valid points. I've watched things and I'm like, I can't believe I used to like this, or feel sorry for this person, or not like this, or not like this person, or whatever. Like we're doing Caitlin knows. Yeah. We're doing Glee Chat flashbacks at the moment, which is very similar to what we're doing with Rewatchable, honestly. Like, it's we're you know, on Glee Chat watching old episodes of Glee that we never covered when we started the podcast, so seasons 1 and 2. Caitlin and I are having some problems with Kurt Hummel, who we both used to love. Mm-hmm. We are having some problems, and it is a bit of an eye-opening experience about, like, why did we like this? Like, what? Like, what was happening? So, yeah, I know those feels. But I don't know. Toph, I mean, I think all of the characters in this show change, and they have their ups and downs. Like, there are episodes where I really like everyone and don't like everyone. Like, I don't love Toph. I think that she is really obnoxious, and I really wouldn't probably want to spend time with her. But I don't know. I think that she offers the show a lot, and I think that all of the main characters really change at different times. So I don't know. Maybe your childhood self will become validated at some point, or maybe it was just a change. She's my older brother and his wife and their kids watch it, and they all really love her as well. So maybe she's a good character for kids. I don't know. Maybe she's like kid humor or something. I don't remember childhood, so I don't know. Did you have anyone, Arianna, at the moment that you really want to see a conversation between, though? Like, any, you know, particular faves that haven't got to hang out yet?
I'd like to see, like, Azula and Katara kind of dish it out.
Yeah.
I'd like that, because they're both kind of bitchy ladies. Powerful. So I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them both get angry at each other. Well, I don't really think anything could make Azula angry. She just is.
She's got some amazing episodes. I was watching this. We were watching this, and I was like, God, she's so terrible, but God, she adds a lot to the show. Azula is a great presence. You know, whether anyone loves her. I mean, we love to hate her, but I think Mitch loves her, doesn't he? Mitch is a big Azula fan.
I like her right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like
even though she's crazy. I mean, I wouldn't want to be friends with her, but I think she's fascinating.
Yeah. I don't know if I have compassion for her, but this show is good at tricking you into that kind of thing. So, there are some great Azula episodes coming up. I was actually flicking through the whole episode list for this season, and I was just like, God, all of these episodes, they're so good. I'd forgotten how many are going to be so good. Caitlin, I mean, obviously, you know the people in the future who are coming, but or the, you know, the characters, you know, who will or will not interact. But, you know, at this moment, who are you a fan of the interactions of?
I want to see Aang and Iroh have a cup of tea.
Yeah, good times.
There would be so much zen. It would be amazing.
So much zen. Okay, this again, can I just tell you guys that this is not... Oh, no, I won't tell you. It's too spoilery. I was going to say something else from the comics that's like such a throwaway thing that's not a big deal about Iroh and tea, but I can't tell you, so that's fine. Karen, how about you? Who do you want to see?
I want to see Zuko and Katara more.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like, it is really like that. Whenever he approaches her and talks to her, like, I don't ship it, but I get, like, why. Because it's so, like, he's always so, like, he doesn't really talk to the others when he interacts with them or fights with them. But with her, there's always, like, some sort of, like,
there's a lot of sexual tension, and I don't know, like, where it comes from. Like, because they don't, like, they have no reason to be, like, sexy together, but, like, you feel it, like, the presence.
It's so weird. He always has, like, a sexy line. Like, he always has, like, a sultry, like some sort of, like, you know, a zinger that's, like, a bit sultry, and it's really awkward, and I don't know what to do with it. So, yeah, I don't ship it, but it's so weird.
I wonder if the actor, like, did that on purpose.
I don't know. Go on Tumblr and ask him. He's freaking I think he spends like 85% of his day talking to fans. just so everyone knows, the Tumblr, if you guys aren't aware, the newbies, you may or may not be, Dante Basco, who voices Zuko, is very, very, very passionate about doing this. He also played Rufio in Hook, if you guys are familiar with Hook.
What?
Mm-hmm. And his Tumblr name is Rufio Zuko. He's really in love with those two parts. He's a lot of fans from both of those roles. He's very passionate about talking about that. He does a lot of fan meetups. He goes to a lot of cons. He's very fan interactive. He was Zuko. He was Rufio. He's done a few other big roles, but those are the two biggest ones. And he is very into talking to fans. So you could probably go on Tumblr and ask him. But yes, that is who that is, just so you guys know. Yeah, Karen's mind is like, I can't live.
Yeah, this is, like, so much cooler.
Yeah, and sadder also.
Oh. Yeah,
for so many reasons. But, yes, that Dante Basco is Zuko, he's Rufio, and he will answer your questions on Tumblr, I'm 100% sure. But, yeah, so we've got the whole splitting up thing. Aang sends Katara and Sokka to actually look for Toph again, and, the dangerous ladies end up tracking them, whereas Azula goes off on her own to follow Aang's fake trail, and he basically sits down at the end of the trail and waits, which I'd sort of forgotten happened. I'd forgotten that he actually waited for, you know, her to come and work out what their, you know, differences were. So was this a smart move or was this a bad move? How did you feel when you sort of saw him not just, like, taking the trail away, but when you realized that he was going to actually face up to it on purpose? Karen, what did you think of that moment?
I liked it. I kind of felt bad that he didn't go somewhere to, like, take a nap, though, because he looked so tired.
Yeah, consistency. They had those dark shadows under their eyes, like, right through the whole episode. Like, Ariana, how about you? Did you sort of expect that Aang would sort of take, you know, himself by himself in order to face that, you know, whatever was chasing him?
I guess I didn't think it was very smart because in theory he would be meeting all of them. And then he kind of like led them right into that town, which I'm assuming has other people in it, but maybe not. So that's kind of dangerous. Okay.
I've got a feeling because I was like, is that the town Zuko was in before? And then I was like, no, I think it's empty because, like, so that they wouldn't, like, hurt anyone, if you know what I mean. Like, he knew shit was going to go down. And I don't know. I think he's that nice. I think he's that, like, you know, compassionate and, like, you know, it's his job to be, like...
You think he's that nice, Natalie?
Well, I think nice is a filler word that should be eliminated for the world. I think it means too many things, and it can mean too many things in too many contexts that I don't think that it has a genuine one meaning And so I don't like using it. It is a filler word that I will try to avoid using in future. But yes, I think he's that compassionate, and I think it's his job to take care of the universe. So I think that he would have gone and looked for an empty place. I don't know why he chose an abandoned town, except that they wanted to have a Western showdown. So that's cool. I mean, I guess I've never watched a lot of Westerns, but it seems to be a big influence of the last couple of episodes. And then Zuko, you know, Azula shows up to be like, I'm going to catch you and kill you. And then Zuko shows up and is like, no, I'm going to catch him and kill him. Step off. So that that happens. Do you think that they, if they're both trying to catch him, do you think that they should team up to catch the Avatar?
I mean, I kept thinking, like, why don't they team up and catch the Avatar and, like, you know, knock everybody out, and then they can fight amongst themselves.
Yes. Doesn't that make more sense?
Much Zuko more knows efficient.
He would lose. So yeah. That's not smart.
No.
Didn't, like, him and Aang team up against Azula? Or how did it work? Because they didn't both go after Aang. They all, like, went after a separate person, which did not make sense to me.
It's so confusing because this fight ends up with Aang, you know, we have Aang, we have Zuko and Azula, and then we have Iroh show up to save Zuko. Then we have Katara, Sokka, and Toph show up to save Aang. And so at one moment you have all four people, basically when they end up cornering Azula at the end, you know, before she zaps Iroh, you have air, fire, earth, water, all blasting at Azula, like all four elements of the kids.
She's still holding her own. That's impressive.
Azula, she's like a cockroach. You just can't kill her. Like, it's like, so at first you had Zuko and Azula firing. They were kind of firing at each other, and then they were both firing at Aang, and he was kind of running. They were both chasing Aang while fighting each other off. And then everyone came, and then, you know, you had that moment of Azula, them all circling her, and he's all like, she's all like, enemies and traitors working together. So how did that make you guys feel, that moment of them all circling Azula, like that whole team of people, basically?
I fist bumped.
It's just a matter of time, right, before Zuko joins Team Gang?
That's what I'm hoping for.
I mean, you guys have.
I mean, it would have happened this episode if Iroh hadn't, like, died.
Don't say that.
He's not dead, Karen.
Yeah, you guys are making. You guys are really intelligent people who spend a lot of your time and, you know, make part of your living, or, like, you know, just, you know, choose to spend time doing a lot of analysis of, you know, film and movies and books and storytelling. And you guys, this is what we do on the podcast, and you guys are all way smarter than me about it and have been doing it longer than me. So, you know, this is, you know, this assumption is, you know, I'd say, you know, to trust your intelligence about, you know, how good storytelling works in terms of that comment that you just made. So, yeah. Iroh's not dead. I'll save you the pain, shall I, Karen? He's definitely not dead.
Not yet, but he might be.
This is a kids' show. They can talk about people being dead, but they can't really kill people in front of you. I'm just going to say that. Is that
a
spoiler?
That's why the mom is dead. They just can't tell us she's dead.
No comment. It was really unclear. I'm just going to say that. Caitlin... That's my favorite episode, by the way, Caitlin. Like,
I love it so much.
Am I allowed to give a spoiler of an episode title? Like, do we say future titles? Like, they can look like... I'm just going to say, Zuko Alone is top 5. My favorite episode is an episode called The Ember Island Players, which you will understand once you see.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that I've seen, like, a clip of this. Because the It's Really Unclear sounds really familiar to me.
Maybe. So.
It might be like the swamp thing. I have like vague visions of things that happen.
The swamp.
Like,
but yes, it's look. My favorite episode of Avatar is called The Ember Island Players, and that's all I'm saying. That's the episode title. That's why Zuko Alone is not. I'm not saying, oh, this is my favorite. I don't know. I haven't like measured them all out, but The Ember Island Players. Yeah, it's important. We'll see. If you my Twitter bio. I believe I've said this before. You'll see my location is listed as Ember Island. So, yes. Anyway, moving on from that. Who cares about me? Enemies and traitors working together. So, yeah, the assumption from this is that Zuko would become good faster or something like that if Iroh wasn't dead. Iroh's definitely pretty zapped, and he kind of, you know, Katara's like, I can help. Because she has her magic water and her healing or whatever it is that she was going to do. But Zuko's like, no, I need to scream in pain.
I'm so angry at him. Why didn't he just have her help? It's so dumb.
Well, okay, but first of all, she was dumb because she was like, I can help. But that's all she says. She's not like that. Yeah, he's probably like, no, go away. Like, how can she help? He doesn't know she has magic water powers.
Yeah, I don't know. They're not very good at making their points clear. No one's particularly logical, but, you know, we do have an old man dying on the floor. So, I don't know. Zuko, I don't think he trusts them. He's not like, you know, I don't think he thinks they're evil. It's not like he thinks he's good and they're evil, if you know what I mean. But I don't think he actually, because he knows that they are enemies, I don't think he necessarily trusts them to help him. That being said, I think he was just being irrational and teen. Like, you know, we had some great Zuko shouting moments, like some great Zuko, like, you know, screaming moments, which are, you know, the fandom loves to make fun of. But yeah, Caitlin, how did you feel about this kind of ending moment of, you know, the ending moment of that whole group of, you know, all of the different types of bending, you know, trying to blast Azula and the result of that.
And it really gives you a nice tease of the potential
of what
it could be, and it kind of makes you really want that, which is very enjoyable. And then Zuko's all rage face after, so that's more sad.
Sorry, it is sad, but also, we love to make fun of him, so yeah. Spoiler alert, Iroh didn't just die in front of you, because they don't actually show people being killed on the show. So if anyone does die, it is certainly off screen. So don't worry, he's not dead yet, as we've said. The Katara and the healing thing, as we mentioned, you know, how should have that situation been handled? Should have just been like, Zuko, I know you're a dick, but I can heal and I don't hate that guy. Move out of the way. You're like, possibly, I don't know.
Like, maybe say, I have water healing powers. Just say move, that.
Move. I can heal him. Move.
Yeah, that would have been appropriate. Also, when he told her to leave, like, just don't leave. Like, why would she do that?
I don't know. They're not very logical sometimes, these children, but they are like 12, so, you know, oh well. Favorite scenes of this episode? Mine, there were many. I really liked this episode, but I put when Zuko, like, Azula, you know, they chase Aang into the abandoned building. You know, Azula sort of catches herself on the ledge because she realized, you know, what's going on. Zuko comes in and falls through the floor.
Yes.
Because, and I put this, this is what happened when I watched this. I laughed out loud, like an uncontrollable sort of crack. I was just like, ha! And then I literally said to the television, sorry, baby, as in to Zuko through the television. So that was my out loud reaction to this scene, even though I have seen it like 4 times or 5 times before. So yeah,
I laughed very loudly too.
I was out loud, uncontrolled. Like, I'd kind of forgotten it happened, and it was so. Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that. Karen, how about you for the favorite scene in this episode?
Anytime Sokka was really tired, because as most of you guys know who have like been in a hotel with me or something, I hate mornings, and I just feel like I could use the gifts of tired Sokka, like, all the time. And I actually did before we came on recording here. I was like, I'm so tired. And there was this one of Sokka just, like, pulling the sleeping bag over his head, because that's how I felt.
Yeah. It's funny. I always think Karen is this, like, bright daisy sunshine, like, productivity, like, person. And then I, like, find out that she's, like, I always remember that she's, like, grumpy and bad at mornings, and she's, like, a middle-of-the-night person, which just doesn't fit with my idea of her.
You're a little bit mean in the mornings.
Am I?
Really?
A little bit.
I don't know. I feel like Danya needs just to like, be here.
We've yeah. done
people
shows.
Trying to talk to you, and you're like, and you pull the cover over your head.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, you do take a while to get going. Like, you know, with the day and, like, you know, shower and up and stuff like that. And then if we podcast in the morning, you're like, you're always a bit more sassy. You're always a bit more, like, snappy and, like, you know, you have, like, a little bit more attitude or a little bit more impatient. Yeah, kind of no filter. Or, like, you know, if someone's done something dumb in the episode, you're a little bit, you don't hold back. But, yeah, I enjoy it. I love morning Karen. So, yeah, we always love it when Karen gets... Well, we also love it when you get, like, angry and mean about people on the internet as well. So that's good.
Yeah, that's weird.
Basically, Natalie likes it when you're not nice.
I trust Karen's goodness. I really do. But I think that everyone inherently is kind of awful, so including myself. Like, so I like it when I get to see that in people. Anyway, look, I'm really screwed up. Just don't worry about it. I don't trust anyone, so therefore I don't trust niceness. That's basically what it is. That's the sum of it. I don't trust anyone, so that's what it is. But in terms of favorite scenes, Ariana, what was yours?
Mine was definitely when Azula was doing her impression of Zuko, because it was so spot on.
Impressions in this show, okay, impressions in this show are very important. That's all. Just moving on from that. I love all people in this show doing impressions of each other. That one was amazing. There are more amazing ones yet to come. There have been amazing ones in the past. I don't know. It always just gets me, like, how they managed to do such good, like, deadpan humor in an animated show. Like, I'm really surprised at how they managed to do it. And yes, I loved her being like, it's okay, you can laugh. Like, I can never tell, like, what's genuine from her. Like is she, like, where... She's so confusing. But, yeah, I love... Yeah, she's cray-cray, but also hilarious. Too.
She's like, it's okay, you can laugh. It's funny.
It's funny. How about you, Caitlin? I think that you mentioned before that yours was the Toph and Iroh bro date.
Pretty much, yeah, because they're such an unexpected pair, and then Iroh's just talking about Zuko all the time, as you do. Yeah. So, you know, it's enjoyable.
It's cute. I love it. It's sweet, and I really like... I like those two characters together. I like Toph when she's at her best. I do find her grating at times as well, but all of these characters, as I said, have ups and downs that are, you know, very, I think, understandable or, like, or whatever. And yeah, I really liked this scene as well. Favorite lines in the episode. As I said right at the beginning, mine was in between that Toph and Katara battle, because I kind of disliked their attitudes equally, honestly. I mainly was sort of team Sokka in the background, but I did like when Aang I'm mainly saying this because Caitlin once again stole my quote that I wanted to use, but but Sokka's line, you know, of him sort of being sitting there, you know, watching Aang and Katara after they both exploded to Toph, Sokka being like, yeah, you two were pretty much jerks, because they were, even though I think Aang was the most in the right, honestly, you know, when Toph started bitching out Appa, but I kind of just like the idea of, like, Sokka sitting there in the background and, you know, judging away, and I enjoyed that.
Okay, since nobody picked this line, I just want to mention, like, give honorable mention to that line of Aang's that you mentioned. What does he say? He's like, you always say you're carrying your own weight, but you're not. He is.
But
Appa. I was like, that's right, guys. Appa is carrying all of you.
Yeah. I think that, they should be taking better care of Appa. And they should have, they should have taken better care of Appa. And I think Aang's point was the most valid. But again, I think everyone was being a bit, you know, overdramatic from the whole, no sleep and the anger and stuff. I think all, you know, kids, all people do all sorts of, you know, horrible things when they're you know, not sort of arguing in the best state of mind. It was just that one line of Katara's that I'm just like, you serious bitch? Are you fucking serious? So I've sort of never forgiven her for that. Maybe I'm hanging on to it too much, but I thought it was uncool. Anyway, how about you, Karen?
Speaking of overdramatic, mine was when Katara just yells, "I'm completely calm!" And I mean, have you guys ever done that where you're like, "I'm not yelling at you," but you totally are? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure related. You did today and yesterday.
Probably. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did that like while I was yelling at Natalie on this podcast episode.
I don't know. She's like, "I'm not angry." It's fine. I don't know. If that was yelling, I can take it. Don't worry. Ariana, what was your line that you picked?
Okay, I need some help on this one, so I wanted to ask if Caitlin could help me since I loved her boulder impression.
Okay. Oh my god.
Can you be May?
Okay. I don't have a good May impression, I'm sorry.
Just do your boulder impression for everything.
I'm not doing the boulder as May. I'm sorry.
May is the boulder.
I'll try to be as flat as possible, though.
Okay.
Wads of wet fur. How delightful.
They're not wads. They're more like bundles or bunches. It's got an "us" sound.
Clumps?
Clumps! They're clumps!
Oh, Kylie. She's so insane. I love them both so much. I love May. Another one that would have been, if not the soccer, was her. Them in that, like, when they kind of fight and they're like, "I thought you guys would be easier to beat." And she's like, "Oh, well, victory is boring." I just love her so much. I love her so much. And I'm so excited that she's here for you guys to see because I love her so much. She's so like Daria. I don't know. She's just amazing. I love her. But Caitlin, how about you?
So mine's a brother-sister exchange with Sokka and Katara, and they're trying to figure out who's following them, and Sokka, or someone suggests that it could be Zuko, and Toph has no idea who it is, and they're like, "Who's that?" And he's like, "It's a ponytail guy," and so Katara's like, "What's wrong with ponytails?" "Ponytail?" And Sokka goes, "This is a warrior's wolf tail," and Katara goes, "Well, it certainly tells the other warriors that you're fun and perky."
I love this so much.
It's so weird. So I don't know if this happens to you guys. Natalie, you haven't watched it, so this won't apply. But I always hear Veronica Mars when Katara talks. I think that it's the sass, but also just like the sort of high-pitched sound of her voice. Like, she just sounds so much like Kristen Bell, and it just makes it even better.
She, again, another little thing for people who may be listening to the show and don't know too much about the voice actors. Katara's voice actor is a relatively famous actress as well. She's called Mae Whitman, and she's in television shows. She's in Parenthood. She's in – people really wanted her to play Hazel in The Fault in Our Stars before they cast Shailene Woodley.
She's in Arrested Development.
Yeah, she's in Arrested Development. She's in lots of things. And she's a screen actress as well as voice actress. Mae Whitman, who people may know, but that is the – voice of Katara, if you ever want to put a face to that. So, yes. We've got our feedback to go through, and I'll just give you the contact info again, in just in case you have decided after listening to all that you would quite like to come and leave us some commentary. We've got an email, rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, Twitter, @re_watchable, this post on Hyperball, or you can go leave us an iTunes review so that we get to keep making this fantastic podcast and iTunes still thinks that we're a legit thing. And if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, Karen will give you an Earth Nation dagger she won after murdering thousands of innocent people.
I didn't even read this. Where is this? God.
Has she followed through on the fireflakes yet? Has anyone received any fireflakes from Karen?
No.
We'll make fireflakes. We'll just get some cornflakes and rub them in like some like paprika or like hot sauce or something. Like, it's fine. Anyway, listener feedback. We got so much feedback. Oh my god, we've got so much. We'll barrel through this quickly. So we'll just go down in the order that we've been doing our quotes. So if everyone knows their position on the list of the quotes for this episode, I'll go first. So Catherine Bademan said, "I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to hear the boulder say my name. He pronounced my last name wrong, but don't mention that to him as I'd rather not get on his bad side."
Do the next one though.
A note for a boulder. Caitlin is the next person on the list. Oh, no. Okay, no, she's not. Caitlin, go ahead. You can take the next piece of bold and pass on the message from the boulder to him about the thank you from Catherine.
I'll pass it on. Make sure he knows and make sure he learns how to say names correctly. And our next piece of feedback. The boulder does not feel conflicted about this podcast. The boulder loves it.
Thank you. Thank you, the boulder. We really appreciate that. So, Karen, do you want to go next with the next one?
Yes, this one's from Susan, and she says, I was really looking forward to this episode because I love the Blind Bandit. In Avatar Day, I was kind of sad you didn't mention the beginning of the episode when the gang was ambushed and Katara and Aang were able to get their stuff, but Sokka was not able to. I felt so bad for him and felt his pain. It really wasn't right that he got left out like that, but thankfully karma was on his side and he was able to get Boomerang back.
Boomerang, you do always come back. Who's put you snooze, you lose, Sokka? I'm looking at Ariana.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it does suck, but yeah. And then, Ariana, do you want to take the next one here?
Yeah, sure. This is from Lindsay Salisbury. And she says, I really do think you guys should do Legend of Korra 2. While it is a different series, I do think the journey is complete. Without all of the info, I think she means I do not, or maybe I do. I don't know. Maybe the newbies should be forced to read a comic manga that made all the fangirls die. Okay, mostly I just put this in here because I want to watch Legend of Korra too.
All right, I was thinking about this earlier, and I don't know if this is an on-air discussion or not, but by the time we finish this, certainly our Korra will be done. It will be a complete series. It will not have new episodes ever coming out again. So I didn't know whether we were going to like carry on, you know, into Legend of Korra with this, if you know what I mean, because I'd be up for it. I don't know if that's in the spirit of the show or not, but, you know, probably up to Caitlin and Karen and other people. But by the time we finish Avatar, actually in a few weeks, Legend of Korra will be done completely. So it would actually be something we could go straight into, though we could also potentially do a special episode after you guys have read the comic of the, you know, the canonical follow-on from Avatar that definitely comes off the back of this series. So those are some options if we wanted to stick around in the Avatar universe for a while and carry on this pain or joy or whatever it has been for you guys. But, yeah, any thoughts on that, Caitlin?
Oh, we just said we'd be thinking about it, so.
Oh, fair enough. We'll be thinking about it. There are some options. There we go. Okay, a little bit more here. Kate, finally catching up on Rewatchable after vacation. Missed you guys. I would totally leave a 5-star review on iTunes, but I don't have iTunes. Gasps. iTunes is free, guys, and podcasts are free on iTunes. If you have a reason you can't get iTunes, that's fine. But iTunes is a free download that the internet has invented, and you can go on there and subscribe to get the podcast onto your iPod or onto your computer to listen for free. You don't have to pay to get iTunes or the podcast. So if you did want to get it, you will go in the running to win an Earth Nation dagger that Karen used to murder thousands of innocent people. She's also said, the awkwardly named bird horses remind me much more of a cross between a donkey and an ostrich. Therefore, I have combined it to Astridge. I think we're going to use that from now on.
Isn't that wonderful?
Prefer that.
I did not read to the end of the sentence before I got there, clearly, because...
Kate.
Yeah, so...
You're great.
So thank you, Kate. Kate, you're great. Thumbs up. Did you want to go on? Karen, would you like to read the next one?
I would love to read the next one. This one's from Sammy, and she says, I think Karen from Rewatchable might be my spirit animal. I just always seem to agree with her, and I understand the love of bad things.
Do they mean like Mortal Kombat and stuff?
No.
I think Karen made another account. And tweeted
it. Oh, I didn't. This made my entire day when she tweeted this. So thank you, Sammy.
Okay. Is this picture of Damien from Mean Girls a different comment, or is this part of the same comment?
That's from Brittany. No, that's from Brittany.
Okay, Brittany has left a message saying, Zuko's hair and the backstory, my heart. I think my Azula feelings are changing, but she's still a badass. And then we've said, Brittany, what are you doing here? So that's Brittany from the podcast leaving some feedback.
She doesn't even go here.
Do you even go to the school? No. Go home. Yeah. So that's about it from us. So you'll see a rewatchable group next week with the next couple of episodes, most likely led by Donya, unless she accidentally falls off a cliff or is, you know, incapacitated in some other manner.
That's
if
terrible.
She gets her bending taken away. I mean, like, you know, if she, you know, gets a you know, some sort of accident, you know, we wouldn't want that to happen. But, you know, who knows? I'm not saying that because for any, you know, kind of nefarious reasons or anything, but, you know, just in case.
Because you're not a nice person, Natalie.
No, I'm such a good person, though. I'm not nice, but I'm so good. I'm okay. Karen will tell you the truth of both of those statements, won't you?
No comment.
Fuck you!
Oh, I'm just kidding!
Yeah.
No,
I'm
love
not
you.
Nice. I'm not nice, but I'm so good. I promise
it's
you.
True.
I'm such a good and generous person. I just don't, I'm not very good at being nice. Anyway, we'll move on and leave you guys. So if you've been listening, I've been Natalie.
I'm Karen.
I'm Ariana.
And I'm Caitlin.
Thank you for joining us on Rewatchable, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Cool.
How's everybody doing? Other than having tons of work to do.
I don't have Ebola, so.
That is always a plus.